Screen Time with John Fardy.
Thanks to Airtainment, a new era in Irish streaming begins. Discover more at airtainment.com.
This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to Screen Time. I'm John Fardy and this is News Talk's TV and movie show. This week on the show, the one and only Robert De Niro returns to Screen Time, along with legendary producer Erwin Winkler, to talk about their new movie, The Alto Knights, with Robert De Niro playing both roles. With the whole world seemingly talking about adolescence, we talk to more of its stars in the form of Top Boys Ashley Walters and Aaron Doherty. Plus, French auteur Francois Ozon talks to me about his new movie, When Autumn Falls. I'm open on Twitter, John_Fardy, or you can email me screentime@newstalk.com. This show is available as a podcast every Friday at 5 p.m. on newstalk.com or the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. And it's on the radio every Saturday at 6 p.m. here on News Talk. Good weekend to you all, and I do hope you're doing well and you survive the St. Patrick's Day festivities. I was at a parade that was, you know, urban but rural in some fashion. And as much as I enjoyed it, I have to say I thought the eldest boy was onto something when he said, "How's this any different to a traffic jam?" Such was the parading of buses and tractors and things like that. But hey, it was fun. And hats off to anyone who marched on foot or in a tractor or bus. And it seems to me that the thing a lot of kids get out of parades these days is seeing their other pals in marching along going, "Look, there's Ben or Bobby or Johnny or whoever." So that was my St. Patrick's Day parade. And enjoyable it was too. Now this week in TV, I was watching this.
"My name is Mary Cobb, Queen of the 40 Elephants. The biggest gang of female thieves in the whole of London."
"You have all the power."
"Yes.
I want that."
"You can do it. You can be the next champion."
"Warn him off my patch."
Now that is a clip from 1,000 Blows on Disney. It's been out a few weeks. It's from the Peaky Blinders creator. And in a way, there's similarities because this is set in the shadowy underworld of late Victorian bare knuckle boxing. But please, do not be put off. This is not really about boxing in any huge way. There is boxing in it, but in it we have Stephen Graham, a guest on last week's show, playing a bulked up and pretty terrifying Henry Sugar Goodson, who owns a local pub, but he's also a bare knuckle champion and a pretty dark kind of guy. He spent years seeing off all comers in this bare knuckle ring, and he's also had a pretty rough time. He was in a workhouse and all that. In tandem with that, we have Aaron Doherty, who's on the show this week, who plays Mary Carr, who's brilliant in this as the leader of a troop of female thieves and pickpockets known as the 40 Elephants, based on a real life gang. She was trained by her mother and I suppose by life to look out for yourself. And in a way, she's a proto-feminist of sorts because she has this gang of women and she's putting them front and center and she's trying to work her way in the world and work it very well. She's absolutely brilliant in it and she's a shared workhouse history with the aforementioned Sugar Stevens Graham character. As well as all that, we have a third character, Hezekiah Mosco, played by Malachi Kirby, who is brilliant as this a Jamaican refugee immigrant who's coming from Jamaica under the promise of a job. He's with a pal of his and the job turns out to be something pretty awful. And looking for other income, he makes his way into the boxing ring and he turns out he's pretty good at it. I won't say any more than that. This is pretty great. Kind of prestige-y kind of TV. Very gritty London. Very well scripted, lots of plots going on, but all coming together, coalescing in a very pleasing, entertaining, captivating way. So a really good show on Disney Plus, 1,000 Blows. It's violent at times, and it's more about the violence done to people and violence done in your childhood and how it might stay with you all your life. But it's a great watch. I've 6 episodes, I'm 4 in and enjoying it immensely. So that's 1,000 Blows on Disney Plus. Do let me know if you might have been watching it or anything else. Screentime@newstalk.com is my email address, or you can tweet me John_Fardy. En route to the big new movie release of the week, I do want to mention Adolescence, which we're going to be talking about again in the second part of the show. But just in terms of TV, I'm not sure there's been a show in recent memory where I've gotten so many texts and emails about. So friends of mine, colleagues have all been texting me going, this is an amazing show. We've got a lot of emails to the show. I got a lot of tweets about just how brilliant Adolescence is. It really is. If you haven't watched it on Netflix, by God, we're going to be talking about it again in the second part of the show, but it is gripping TV, and all the stuff you're hearing about it, it's very accurate, I think. So, to matters at hand, The Alto Knights is being released in cinemas this Friday, the 21st of March. And the film follows New York's most notorious organized crime bosses, Frank Costello, in this played by Robert De Niro, and Vito Genovese, or Genovese, played by Robert De Niro. That's right, he's doing a dual role. So he's playing both of them, and they're often in scenes together. So that was tricky. And both these crime bosses, who are very much real people, are vying for the control of the city streets. They were once best friends, but petty jealousies and a series of betrayals put them on a deadly collision course that will reshape the mafia and possibly even America forever. And, you know, if you know the history of the mafia, Costello was kind of the guy who wanted to be an upstanding member of society and eventually wanted to try and leave the mafia. Genovese was a tougher nut. And as I say, De Niro is playing both of these roles. It was produced by someone he's worked with a lot, the legendary producer Irwin Winkler, who produced Rocky, Raging Bull, The Right Stuff, Goodfellas. He is royalty in terms of movie. He's directed as well, but in terms of being a movie producer, he has done it all. He is the tender age of 93. I say that because it came up in the interview when I spoke to him and Robert De Niro. Yes, Robert De Niro was on the show about 5 weeks ago for Zero Day on Netflix. We got another interview, which I was delighted about. So here is my chat. It's a short chat, but a chat nonetheless with the legendary Robert De Niro and the equally legendary Irwin Winkler talking about The Alto Knights. Hi guys. How are you?
Hi, we're good. Nice to see you.
Good. Robert, I spoke to you for Zero Day a couple of weeks ago, and you said you were going to look me up the next time you came to Ireland. That hasn't happened as of yet, but you know, there's...
Yeah, well, I haven't been there.
No, well, that's understandable, but I'm still holding you to it. Okay. And if I can start with you, Robert, you know, it's well known you've done many things in your career and strange and wonderful things, but you know, playing two people for the whole movie, being a double lead, that's a big thing. You know, from the outside looking in, it's tough, but you tell me, was it tough to do?
Well, it was just hard work. So it wasn't, I wouldn't say tough, but it was just hard work.
Mm. I thought often when you were playing Vito of Joe Pesci, that if it wasn't you playing both characters, Joe would have done him. And sometimes I honestly thought of Joe and I had to remind myself it was you. So that's a great tribute to it. Did that ever occur to you?
That Joe would do it?
Yeah, and you seemed like Joe Pesci sometimes when you were playing Vito. I actually once or twice had to remind myself that it was you.
No, I understand what you're saying because of the character he's done. He's had that explosive thing.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it was there. I wasn't using him as a model, but it was what I saw from what I understood of Genovese and so on, and the stuff that I saw, the stuff that I read, the stuff that I heard. But there was a similarity, yes, in what Joe's done and what Vito's character was like.
Yeah. Irwin, you know, you've been doing this a long time, making movies, and you look terrific for your age, if you don't mind me saying that.
No, he's 102. Yeah.
What an anything he's for my age. Why didn't you just say I look terrific and leave it at that?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But
in other words, if I was 5 years younger, I wouldn't look so terrific, right?
No. I think if you're 20 years younger, you'd still look terrific. Okay. Anyway, let's not go down a rabbit hole of how well you look. What I was going to say to you was, though, this story has been around since before I was born, apparently, as in you were thinking about this for a long, long time. What was it about the story that you were so keen on?
Well, what happened is Nick Pelleggi and I were really thinking about this for, I don't know, about 10 years. And then when Barry Levinson joined us and working on the script, he came up with the idea of the, because we were, actually what Nick and I were working on was just about Costello, and it really didn't have a great deal of flair. It wasn't that great a story, but when Barry came in, he had this whole idea of building up the conflict between Genovese and Costello, who grew up as friends, went through a whole early life of crime, and Costello went off one way, Vito went off the other way, and Barry brought that idea, which really made the film not only about a crime, but about friendship, about conflict, about ambition, and ultimately how that ambition brought down the mob in America. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, can I just ask you again, unless you look me up in Ireland, I might never meet you again. So I just wonder, last time we spoke, I mentioned Taxi Driver to you, and I told you it was my favorite film. My second favorite film of yours is The Deer Hunter. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that film is everyone talks about the war and Russian roulette and all that. But the thing that's always stayed with me since the first time I saw it was your kind of unrequited love for Meryl Streep. And it's heartbreaking how you can't be with her because mm-hmm. Steve is the great Christopher Walken. I see it as a love story. How do you see it?
You mean the whole movie?
Yeah, more than a war movie.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I could understand why you would think that. It's there, the relationship and the, whatever you call it.
Star-crossed love, I was going to say.
But. Yeah. So, you know, it's, you could look at it that way. I guess I wouldn't disagree with you.
Okay. Well, I'll take that. That's enough for now. Well, listen, Alto Nights is fantastic. You were great in it. And Erwin, it's lovely to meet you. You're looking well. And Robert, I'm still waiting next time you come to Ireland.
I'm 95. You know that.
You're yanking my chain, as Americans say. You're 81 and you're 93. I know that for a fact. So I do my research.
How old are you?
I'm 49.
Oh, baby. Oh,
well, you're getting on, man. You better start working out.
You're meant to say I don't look it, but anyway, I guess.
Right. You don't look it.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
You're going down a very dangerous road. You know that. And we ain't been down dangerous roads before. All of a sudden, we can't go down dangerous roads.
This is a road that I'm not going down because you're going to take us all down. This is not the way. You know, it's just a matter of time you're going to get pinched.
But don't forget. You're a racketeer. You're a gangster. Come on. All of a sudden, you want to be half in, half out, half a racketeer. You can't have it both ways. You're either in or you're out. And whether you're half in or half out, that don't mean you ain't going to get caught the same way I could get caught or I could go down. It's the same thing. Come on, don't be naive. We don't control this. Somebody else does it.
This is a death sentence. It's a big, big mistake.
Look, you do what you want. You want to be a diplomat, that's your business. Me? I'm a gangster. I'm a racketeer. That's it. That's it. That's the life.
A clip there from The Alto Nights, now in cinemas, the 21st of March. It was released. And before that, you heard me talking to Erwin Winkler, the producer of it, and the star who plays both roles, the great Robert De Niro. Now, we got into a rabbit hole of age there. You know, maybe me saying you look terrific for your age is maybe disingenuous, but the man looks 20 years younger. So I did think it was an appropriate thing to say. If someone said to me, you look 20, not that they would, but you look 20 years younger than you actually are, like you look terrific for your age, I think it's a huge compliment. So I meant it as a compliment. We had a laugh about it, but I didn't want to be ageist or anything like that. Alto Nights is in cinemas. It's well worth a watch. I thought De Niro did a great job of playing both characters. So that was Erwin Winkler. And Robert De Niro, for the second time this year on screen time. He says he didn't look me up because he hasn't been to Ireland. Let's see. Hopefully he does a new movie this year, another film this year. I get to talk to him again and we seal the deal of him looking me up. I made that sound sexual there, didn't I? I just meant he might call and see me. Let's move on. After the break, we return to adolescence when we talk to Ashley Walters and the great Erin Doherty. Now, you're welcome back to Screen Time News Talks TV and movie show. I'm John Fardy. Now, last week on the show, we talked a lot about the brilliant new series on Netflix, Adolescence. There's a greater awareness of it this week, and it seems that everybody is talking about it, and it is getting rightly rave reviews. Now, I don't want to give you the entire setup again, because we did a lot of that last week. And indeed, if you could just literally turn this on without me talking about it, it might even serve you better. Suffice to say, Adolescence is a four-part series on Netflix, and the world is raving about it because it stars a young boy, young actor called Owen Cooper, who's a complete new face and hasn't acted before, playing Jamie. And Jamie gets arrested in the first episode on suspicion of murdering a classmate. Stephen Graham plays his father. And over the four episodes, which are shot bizarrely and brilliantly in one take in real time, you can't take your eyes off it. And it's a series all about parenting, toxic masculinity, knife crime, social media. It is hard to watch at times, but you can't look away from it. It is absolutely brilliant. And what's also fascinating is, you know, some people have described it as a crime drama, and nothing could be further from the truth. There is crime in it, but this unfolds like nothing else you've seen. The first episode is all about Jamie's arrest. The second episode is all about a policeman played by Ashley Walters, who's investigating the case, going to the school where the victim and the supposed perpetrator reside or go to school. And he follows this chaotic day in the school as he tries to talk to different students. The third episode involves Jamie, in one take again, talking to a psychotherapist or a therapist in a detention center, played brilliantly by Erin Doherty. The fourth episode, we won't get into, but it is a deeply satisfying conclusion to what happens. This is a powerful TV show that is not like anything else I've seen in a long time. It reminded me of a previous show called The Virtues, which also starred Stephen Graham. You can listen back to last week's interview with Stephen Graham and the creators of the show. But this week I wanted to bring in my interview with Ashley Walters, who, as I say, plays the policeman investigating the case in this, and he's in the first episode, but he's brilliant in all of it. But in the second episode, he visits the school where the students go to school, obviously, and sees what a chaotic place school can be, encounters his own son and has some lovely moments with his own son. Erin Doherty, as I say, plays a therapist opposite Owen Cooper in the third episode, where she's interviewing him in a incredible piece of work. It really is. Ashley Walters is a rapper by initial trade. He was in So Solid Crew, that band from the noughties, and was in the charts with them, as you may well know. His stage name was Asher D, but he's also a fine actor, and he came to prominence, I suppose, most notably in Top Boy, that British crime drama. Erin Doherty, we talked about her earlier, is currently in A Thousand Blows. She was also in The Crown. They are absolutely brilliant, as is everyone in the cast. So here is my chat with Ashley Walters and Erin Doherty about Adolescence. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. How are you doing?
It's nice to see people laughing, you know, without terribly serious faces. So.
That's why I'm out.
Absolutely. You love a bit of Dublin, Ireland as well, don't you? So that's the real love.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Ashley, I'll start with you. You know, lots is made of the one take that the guys managed to pull off. It seems to me your primary episode, episode two, is the most inventive one take, where you're going through the school. And was it very hard to do? It's brilliantly done, but it must have been a tough job to keep up that pace for that whole episode, because you're in it nearly the whole time.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think so. I want to say it was, so it's more of an interesting conversation. But it's like
that's fine. Tell the truth.
we as actors, we're just focusing on just making sure we get to the end of it without failing and making everyone have to start again. But I think the camera team, I mean, they I don't think they're spoken about enough. Kind of like what they do and how they kind of disappear. You know, once it's all rehearsed and ironed out and everyone knows where they're meant to be, they just kind of disappear. It's crazy. It's like magic. So they're never kind of in your way, but you know, watching their process, it is really intense for them. I mean, just holding the camera alone for certain periods of time is like crazy hard. Yeah. Do you know what I mean to do? Hats off to them for making our jobs a lot easier. And I think the idea of something being one take is really scary for most directors. It can be really boring if you don't get it right. The movement of the camera is so important. Yeah. The angles and where it is so important. So yeah, we have to give like Matt and Lee and the whole team like a lot of credit. It's amazing work.
Well, it's certainly not boring. This is a remarkable show. It really is. And Aaron, it's a slightly similar question for you, and you can be honest and say it wasn't hard at all. But the intensity of your episode, I was so struck by it. And it reminds me of a scene from an Irish movie called Hunger, about a hunger strike where a priest and Michael Fassbender are in a prison cell for 30 minutes. And, you know, there are so many emotions in that scene. I wonder when it was all done, do you go, whew, I need a glass of wine, or I need to lie down after that?
Yeah, like it's kind of this whole thing, I just keep coming back to how incredible Owen is, because he had the ability to literally kind of pick it up and put it down, and he was fantastic. But yeah, for me, it was so emotionally draining. I think also just the level of focus that it takes to really just be in that moment, remember your lines, but also to just be responsive is really exhausting. Like, you've just got to, I keep coming back to it, but I feel like it's all about agility. Like, as actors, to get this right, we had to be mentally agile. You had to be physically as agile. But I just had to mentally be ready to go anywhere. And that is really exhausting. So yeah, I'd get to the end of every day and I'd be sleeping for like 10 hours a night, because I'd just be like, I'm no use to anyone anymore.
Yeah, well, you did a great job. Ashley, you know, it's a brilliant series, but it's very dark and troubling in places. But it seems to me, and I hope this isn't a spoiler, but one of the lovely moments of hope in it is where you go for chips with your son. And I won't say any more than that, but it's a beautiful kind of moment of, you know, in a show where there's all these missed connections, you having a connection, having walked around this school that's kind of depressed you, and understandably why, and you have this lovely moment with your son. Do you see that scene as a kind of hopeful moment in the blackness?
Yeah, definitely. I think, it's more than that. It's kind of a nod to where we should be as parents, you know, what we should be trying to achieve when it comes to the relationships with our kids. And I mean, at the moment, in this context, especially with young boys, you know, they find it so hard to talk about how they feel. And that's compounded by the influences of the internet, of social media at the moment. So to kind of break through all of that, like Bascom kind of does at the end, and just say to his son, look, I want to spend time with you because I love you. I think that's so beautiful.
It is.
And definitely what I'm trying to achieve with my own boys in reality, you know. And I think that's kind of, you know, if there are any answers, if there are any solutions, I think that will be the first place we should start looking, is like the connection between us and our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well said. Aaron, another Netflix series was The Crown. And I always read about these, you know, the budget on that series was off the charts, and the production values are just, you know, let's go to Morocco to film 3 minutes. And were you, when you did that, were you like, wow, we're not in Kansas anymore. This is a serious operation I'm part of now.
Yeah, but I was really lucky in that one of my first interactions on that job was with Olivia Colman, who literally went, don't get used to this. So I was like, okay, great. So she was like, it was fantastic. I think any job is completely, the tone is set by the number one, and seeing her just kind of own that whole space and roll with it and not really buying in the nicest way possible, not buying into the hype of a show like that. It really just let everyone rock up to work, do their job, and the rest of it takes care of itself. And I've tried to kind of bring that with me on every job. And again, like, you cross paths with people like Stephen Graham and you're like, oh, this is the consistent thing here, is people just love their jobs and all the kind of fluff around it can take care of itself. We don't really need to buy into it.
And just in closing, Ashley, we come to that awkward moment in every interview you do where someone brings up So Solid Crew and you roll your eyes and go, why are they bringing this up again? So the only question I'll ask you is, do you think So Solid Crew invented grime?
All I will say is that there is a very there's a very famous person in the grime scene who said grime started when he heard Oh No, which is one of our first singles. But I can't answer the question, but you know, who knows?
Exactly. That's good enough for me. And Aaron, finally, do you have Irish in you, as they say, Doherty? I do.
My family are from Donegal, Carndonagh.
Yes, a lovely part of the world. Have you been?
No, but we're planning the trip as we speak. So yeah, I've got an Irish girlfriend. She's from Waterford though, so she was like, we're going to get your family together and we're going to get you up to Carndonagh.
They're the opposite ends of the country. They're literally as far apart as you can get from each other. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Lovely to see you both. And the show is great. So continued success to both of you. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, John.
Jamie, do you know a girl called Katie Leonard? There she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not in your edge group, is she? But you do share some classes together. That's right, innit?
English.
Top set English. Very good. Maths and French, you're in set two. It's good, that. Do you two get on?
Yeah.
Yeah? Describe each other as friends, then.
I don't know.
Well, she occasionally comments on your Instagram post, doesn't she? So, you know, it's probably a sign that you were, like, friends, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
And do you think other people would describe you two as friends?
What is she used at, then?
Why would you ask her?
Is she?
Oh, yeah. She is. And we think you know that. So it's really clever of you to ask the question, if that is the case. Anything?
Careful, dear Bascom.
A clip there from Adolescence. And that man you heard there speaking was Ashley Walters. And a brilliant show it is there. And before that, you heard me talking to Ashley Walters and Aaron Doherty about their roles in Adolescence, now streaming on Netflix. And also, I had to bring up So Solid Crew to Ashley Walters, which she gets tired of talking about. But, you know, you just see him and you go, you were in So Solid Crew. But aside from that, he is brilliant in Adolescence. And Aaron Doherty, who you heard me talking to there, playing the therapist in Adolescence, is equally brilliant. They give amazing performances, which were all shot in one take. Now, they were rehearsed, but they were filmed in one take. Incredible, incredible watch. And all the plaudits you're hearing about Adolescence, to my mind, are true. Watch it if you haven't. A gripping, powerful watch. It really is. And it lasts long in the memory. And if you want to listen back to any of the interviews we did on it last week, simply go to newstalk.com or the Newstalk app or wherever you get your podcasts to hear that. Now, after the break, we change place when we talk to the great French auteur François Ozon about his new movie, When Autumn Falls. Now, you're welcome back to Screen Time, News Talk's TV and movie show. Now, also opening in select cinemas this weekend is the latest movie by the great French director François Ozon called When Autumn Falls. In it, we have Michelle, played by Helene Vincent, enjoying a peaceful retirement in a gorgeous Burgundy village close to her longtime friend Marie-Claude, when her Parisian daughter Valerie drops off her son Lucas to spend the school holidays with her grandmother. Michelle, confused and upset by her daughter's resentful attitude, accidentally serves her toxic mushrooms for lunch. Valerie quickly recovers, but forbids her mother from seeing her grandson anymore. Feeling lonely and guilty, Michelle falls into a depression until Marie-Claude's son gets out of prison with design on opening a bar nearby. Michelle decides to set him on his feet by employing him as a gardener, a charitable move with surprising and grievous consequences. This is a character-driven psychological drama that looks at friendship, the past, how it might come back to haunt us, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, the lack of fathers, all that kind of thing. And it's a great watch. It's a character study of an older woman with an unusual life and an unusual family life. It is directed by Francois Ozon, who is, he probably wouldn't thank me for saying this, but in a way like a French Woody Allen, except more serious. But he has a huge outlay of movies and everything from erotic thrillers to gay coming of age dramas. He's kind of a modern French shape-shifting auteur. And, you know, some of his great movies, Eight Femmes, Eight Women, Swimming Pool, 5x2, Summer of 85. And he's almost hard to sum up because he's done so many things and there's so many themes in his movies. And he's also quite witty, as well as being this great filmmaker. And this movie, When All In Falls, is a great watch, a beguiling watch. So I got to talk to Francois Ozon earlier in the week. So, Francois, I gather from what I read about this, this is in some part kind of found its source as a dark fantasy you might have had as a kid about poisoning your family with mushrooms, or were you just making a joke?
No, it's the reality. It's the reality. I had a grand aunt I loved who organized a family dinner. And she picked up some mushrooms in the forest close to her house, and she cooked the mushrooms for all the family, and everybody was sick. Some of them finished at the hospital, except her, because she cooked, but she didn't eat her mushrooms. And I was not there at the dinner, but my parents told me the story, and I loved it. Because as a perverse child, I fucked my aunt, tried to kill all the family. And it helped me, this story, to develop this film about the relationship toxic between a mother and her daughter.
Yeah. And so this story, I guess, has been with you for a long time in some fashion.
You know, I had it in mind, but in a certain way, it was in my subconscious, you know, my background. Say, when I decided to work on this project about two old women who seem perfect, living in a beautiful, small French village, I wanted to play on the contrast of this woman who seem perfect grandmothers, who have maybe murder desire behind this respectability.
Yeah. Now, Helene Vincent, or Vincent, is brilliant in it. She's absolutely fantastic. And just, you know, she's at the start maybe seems very ordinary, and we see her doing ordinary, pleasant things. And then, and I don't want to, you know, spoil it, but there is a lot to her, let's just say. She's a fantastic actress, and she's an elderly by Hollywood or modern cinema standards. Did you always want her as the actress to carry this film?
Yes, because I worked already with her for my film By the Grace of God. She has a small part, and we loved to work together. And this time I wanted to offer her lead part, a film she had to carry on her shoulders. And for her, it was a dream, because she lives herself in Burgundy. So she was very close to the character at the beginning of the film, not after. But she understood this character and the difficulty of the relationship with her children.
Yeah. The, you know, there's a lot going on in the film. There's a bit about difficult relationships between parents and children, but there's also things about, you know, what we did in the past and how that might come back to haunt us. There's also a great kind of mystery at its heart, and I don't want to say any more than that, but I guess that's kind of, you know, the meat and potatoes for you. Like, you like complicated stories with lots of layers, like an onion, I guess.
Ah, that's a good metaphor, onions. I'm a good cooker, you know, so I love mushrooms and onions. Yes, for me, it's important to show complexity of life, of relationships, and ambiguity. Mm. Things are not totally black or white.
No.
I prefer to show the gray of life and to have dilemmas, moral dilemmas for the characters and for the audience too, because the audience is involved in the story, because I've decided not to show everything. There are some holes in the story.
Yeah.
And we don't know everything, like in life, you know, you are not a god in life. You don't see everything. So you make your own judgment with your feelings, with your sympathy for people. And sometimes it's bad judgment, but it's your truth.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Well, you pulled it off because it's a fantastic watch. I really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, I was saying to someone just before we started, I said yes to interviewing you because I know your movies. I've spoken to you before, but I purposefully didn't watch or read anything about the film. I just watched it cold. And it's a great way to watch a film, to know nothing about it.
So we have to stop the interview, no?
No, I know. And I'm trying to do that. But it is, it's a great way to watch a film, knowing very little about it, you know?
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. Well, look, one other thing about the film, and this won't give any spoil, is that, you know, an Irish person, for instance, has this idea of the French countryside as being lovely and green, people drinking wine at lunchtime, life being very slow and kind of jolly. And I'm sure that's a stereotype, in the same way that, you know, maybe French people think Irish people, you know, tell jokes and play music and drink Guinness all day. But yet, a lot of this movie takes place in rural Burgundy, and life looks beautiful and beautifully French, and there's gorgeous food and lots of red wine. So does that France actually exist in some places?
I think there is a quality of life in France. That's why so many British people come to live in France. But it's not just about food. It's about the fact to have a normal life, you know, very close to nature. But I think you have the same thing in Ireland or in England. But I don't know if it's a cliché, but I wanted to play with the contrast of the beauty of the nature of and the beautiful quality of life and the darkness of the situation and the relationship between the character. I think it's stronger to develop all this theme in the beauty of life and nature.
Yeah. And I meant to ask you about Helena Vincent. Is she 80 now?
82 now.
82. Wow.
Like 81 during the shooting, I think.
Yeah. It seems important to me that you wanted to, or it was important to you to put a leading lady of that age, because I remember hearing that somebody said to you for Under the Sand that Charlotte Rampling was too old at 50. That's, which seems incredible. I'm going to be 50 next year. It's a horrific thing to say. So so were you very keen? You seem it's important to you to put women who have been around a while on the screen.
Yes, for me it was important to have real faces with wrinkles, you know. I understand it's very tough for women, especially for actresses, to age. And that's why surgery plastic is so present in her life today. But for this film, I wanted the reality of the faces, of the expressions. And Hélène Vincent and Josiane Balasko assume their age, you know. They
yeah.
No problem with that, to deal with that. And for me, it was important to show their beauty like they are, as they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you did that, and they are beautiful. Tell me this. I spoke to you maybe 3-4 years ago for Everything Went Fine.
Yes.
And I remember asking you about 5x2, because I really like that film for various reasons. And I remember thinking at the time, you almost, the answer you gave me when I asked you about it was, not that you didn't remember it, but that it seemed very unimportant to you once you'd made it. And I get that sense about all your films, that you really don't look back. You're not nostalgic about the films you've made. You're not always yet. Thinking of the next one. But you tell me.
Not yet, but maybe it will happen one day.
Okay, you're still too young for that.
Not so much, but I prefer to see the future first.
Yeah. And tell me this, I was thinking about all you do. Do you watch television, as in Netflix or Disney Plus or any of those things? Are you a TV watcher or are you just a movie watcher?
Of course, like everybody, I watch television too. And because there are less and less good American movies, you realize the good writers write for series on television. So, of course, I have to watch platform like everybody.
Okay, okay.
But I prefer to see movies on cinema.
Yeah, okay, okay, yeah. And tell me, lastly, and I'm going to let you go then because I know you have much more to do today. You know, I spoke to you briefly in French before we came on air with my school French. You know, you are talking to me in English because I can't speak French. And you have to do so many interviews in English because rightly or wrongly, it's particularly in the entertainment business, it's the global language. Does that piss you off? Does that annoy you that you have to speak English for things like this?
No. For me, it's I have to practice my English. So it's like... It's like a school, like I'm at school and I have to try to communicate, to express my ideas in English. It's a good exercise. And actually, sometimes the fact to speak in another language help you to say differently things, maybe to be more simple. And sometimes it's too simple, but... and sometimes there are some mistakes. I do mistakes, so maybe you understand something else than what I wanted to say. But it's part of the job. Voilà. It's we have to live with this global world, and the fact English is the most important language in the world.
J'adore le film, and je suis désolé, je ne parle pas français. And it was lovely to talk to you, and continued success.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, John.
Cheers. Au revoir. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. François Ozon there, tolerating my terrible French. And he was talking to me about his life and times, but of course about his new movie, When Autumn Falls, which is in cinemas from the 21st of March. A fine watch. And a pleasure to talk to him. The always entertaining François Ozon. And he's one of those filmmakers that I point to and say, don't say you don't like foreign movies. Watch this guy's movies because you forget they're in French. Or I know some people are put off by foreign language movies. But this guy, they're just movies that happen to be in French. And he's done all sorts of movies. Watch 8 Femmes, watch Swimming Pool, watch 5x2, watch Summer of 85. And if you're going to the cinema this weekend, watch When Autumn Falls. And you won't be disappointed. That is it for this week. I will just remind you, this show is available as a podcast every Friday at 5 p.m. on newstalk.com or the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. And it's on the radio every Saturday at 6 p.m. here on Newstalk. If you want to get in touch with me at any stage, you can email me screentime@newstalk.com or you can also tweet me John_Fardy. Going to leave you with a little music from the movies and from Jackie Brown, Quentin Tarantino's most romantic movie, but that's romantic for Tarantino. And this is the Delphonics. And Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time? I leave you with that and wish you a happy remainder to your weekend.
Screen Time with John Fardy.
Thanks to Airtainment.
Saturdays at 6 p.m. on News Talk.